one Ryan, John One Ryan, beginning to be with Herbert, with Jerry and Freddie, this Thursday, the 22nd January, 76. John One Ryan, John One Ryan, beginning to visit with Herbert, with Freddie and Jerry, this Thursday, the 27th January, 76. John One Ryan, John One Ryan, and beginning to visit with Herbert, with Freddie and Jerry, this Thursday, the 22nd January, 76.
They had to come out from that. Right rubber leg is some absorbing. And the full strength is the best, yeah. We'll put some Q-Rock on that. Okay, well, I should have might have done something else, but I don't see why we didn't bring something from us, got it.
We had to put something in them
swimming bags. Yeah, that's all right. Guy, I like to can, and I like to do this, that, and the other. I like to miss the stop, but I was a damn thing about where I came.
Well, you do a lot smaller.
Yeah. Yeah, I put up 19 for this morning.
That's right.
50, 19.
Loading, got run out. Let's do it.
Lowe's gonna cook them for herself.
Now, why do you think she's got it on the fence and skinned it on the leveling pressure?
Guy is bruised, and evidently, from what it looks like, a barbed wire or a nail or stick or something has been stuck in there.
Yeah.
And it's running now. Just like a rise. And if you put some that dang drawer bean on there and some pure rocks for healing it. That few rocks, if you get a salve or spray either one. Then I'll give you a piece of one of them jars I got to have there. So you know what I mean, to have a few rocks, got the same thing in it. There's another drug that they got, a salve, and I think some of both of them at the house. I buy a little old jar about that big around, about it high, about $3 or $4. Yeah, I definitely give it some sense. And if she'd had a tetanus shot within a year, I wouldn't bother with it. But if it's been over a year, I'd give her a shot I'd give her a tetanus shot if she hadn't had one in the last 12 months. And did you know if you give a horse a tetanus shot, you're supposed to have another shot to go with it, a shot? And some of them go in the shot and you're getting that damn tetanus. That's right. Huh? Really safe. Yeah. Yeah, they have, I don't know what it's called, but I think I got some at the house. I'm not sure. I believe I got one more damn shot of it. Yeah, they go in the shot and you're getting that shit. And especially if you give them freaking chicken, yeah. They'll go in the shop. Yeah. A lot of times that horse will with tennis, you know what I mean, you give them a tetanus.
Yeah.
I never know the one to go in the shop and give them a tennis shell.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we could have that calf home yesterday afternoon, and let him make the old calf, and went back and gave him 5 3 feet of tennis shell. We'll give him 5 more today and 5 tomorrow. Yeah, I always get a kid from family when you take them away one time for them on there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yes, sir. This was a newborn kid, so you come here Monday. Because I went and traded for him for Milton before he was 2 hours old.
Oh, really?
Yeah. In other words, the cow just had the kid and he was trying to get him in the pen. So Milton was wanting to buy a little cow to put on the kid, keep the cow from keep her mad to milk cow.
Yeah.
Oh, they're gonna go buy a cow. Gonna go buy a cow. And me and Milton went to look at a bull. He wanted to trade bulls with the lady.
Yeah.
And we went to look at the bull. He he's talking about buying a crib. I was pulling over here. I said, "Fella, I know run this baby."
Yeah.
And he pulled in there, and I talked to the boy a little bit. That's another kid. He said, "Not by nowhere." I said, "Yeah, it's one of those boys bringing up out there now. By God, I want him." He said, "Well, if it's a bull you can get him." He said, "Heifer, we don't sell a heifer."
Mm-hmm.
And we got the, yeah, you don't wear out damn machine, you reckon. Just using it up. And the old boy, we went around and looked at him, and sure enough, he's a bull.
Yeah.
See, when I can't get him for 3 days, so the boss won't come until he's 3 days old.
Yeah,
that's where they'll get that colostrum.
Yeah.
And I told him, I said, "Now, by God, I want that damn chair." He said, "Well, I don't know where the boss man sold him yet or not. Because first come is first served." I said, "By God, that first come. Goddamn, if you tell him I'll get full and the cow had him there." And he called the man, "Gone the damn place." He said, "Yeah, just take him up Wednesday morning." So we went and picked him up. Got the damn collar green, went and looked at the bull. There's some old bulls. And I helped Milton pick him out one. And of course, now I actually don't like the one, you know what I mean? I don't like them bulls too good, but they are a good bull to get breeding blood, breeder blood before they come to start their thing. But up on his shoulders right up here, he had just a little bit too much rise. I like him with a plum straight back. And I like him where that hip. And down the field, go out like that and come down. I don't like them that straight down. Well, them doing me a straight down. And all of them except one got just a little bit of hump in his back. Well, they're high-bred bulls. We got paper down, let the papers on them. Now, the lady that's got the, just wanting to trade with him, well,
yeah,
she's, yeah, you want a pretty good chasing one. You know, in showing, walking horses, or any other horse, they're 40% of judge, 40% of that judging is on confirmation. Yes, sir. 40%. It's the build of the horse. How fat he is. How he's built. How he carries himself. You know what I mean? It's a walking horse don't go with his nose sticking out that way, straight up and down. His face is straight up and down.
That's right.
And if he carries his chin out, well, that's count against him. See, it's confirmation. Yeah.
Now, what about his legs?
Well, you want them fairly wide apart. Good leg, clean leg on him. Good long foot. And instead of setting him up straight this way like he would a 5-year horse and kill him, you set him way back. Give him a long, long toe.
Give him a long toe.
Yeah. That's right. You give a walking horse a long toe. A long foot, just as long as you can get it.
That's not just for look.
No, that's for going. Stride.
Well, you can take a longer stride that way?
Yeah. I rode him with his stepway to the front foot this way. That back foot, when he said it, that there would be 42 inches in front of that damn fence back.
Oh, and most of the time they just
cover
the front side.
Yeah, the average horse do. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they just step in. 42 inches this back foot will go in front of the front. They have had time to weigh that went 48 inches. From these world champions, stepped over 48 inches, and that's a long damn side. And when he picks up that front foot, he slowly picks it up and kind of swings it like he's swimming. Gets the furthest end of that, and this back track will go over. That's even. When a walking horse really turned on, you see a little hump in his back. You ever notice it? And there is, and ride it just like a airplane.
And there's a little hump in his back?
Yeah, just a little. In other words, he's stepping so long, it looks like it's a hump in his back, but his back is straight when he's just standing. But he's stepping so far, he has to get a hump in his back to get that foot up yonder. And you put weights in his feet, in the front feet of stepping.
And the way he stepped is looking at the horse. He could almost see how far that back
went. He did see how far it went. If you was riding a horse and he was looking at it, he'd tell you right up, He tell you in 2.5-3 inches of halfway that damn horse is striding, what the cold striding. That's stepping over his front track. And buddy, that's what they want. They want that stepping over that front track, striding.
They want that.
Yes, sir.
And that's what you mean when you say he asked and if he missed the beat.
That's right. In other words, just a little bit one sided that way. You know what I mean? Kind of like he's pacing or racking. You know, if a horse is pacing and racking, it goes, the front end goes this way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if he goes this way, wait and notice it. He wants that horse straight up and down, that head straight up and down. He doesn't want that head to wobble a bit and his front shoulder. And it's plumb straight. You got to go straight.
The shoulders can't wobble.
No, the head don't wobble.
And the head has to be straight up?
Straight up and down, through this way. But he don't go like that with his down head.
You look down there at the end of that oval, isn't
it? Yeah.
And you're looking at him coming through or going through.
Well, you can tell what he's doing, where he's wobbling, and it's all or not. See, when you get down over here.
His head wobbling?
Yeah. You can tell where his head's wobbling or not. And when you ride him, you can damn sure feel it. If you know what you're looking for, you can feel it just as plain as day.
So when you can wake up watching that horse, he's watching that straighten.
He's watching it straighten. He's seeing how far he's slipping. He passes him. You can tell you how far he passes. You know, he goes by him. Oh, eagle eye could cut his eye over there and tell you right about how far that horse is sliding, how far he's stepping over his front track. I bet you'll tell you within 2.5 to 3 inches.
And if you're right,
and
stepping over the front track enough to make you go back and
come and do it again. Do it again. He'll do it till he comes in right. If he stumbles, blunders, or tall, whatever, you got to do it all over again. When he comes into that barn, now, God, he's got to be just right, or you take him back and ride him again till he do this. But if he, you know what I mean, if he breaks over, trots, or jogs, or
oh, you mean when he's coming into the barn?
Yeah, when you come into the barn with him, put him up. Yeah, when you go to put him up. He's got to be perfect, or either ride down, you take him back and bring him in again.
Not only when he comes.
You know, lots of horses, when they go into the barn, they're getting a little bit too damn hard.
That's right. That's
they're getting too damn big a hurry, and they'll make a misstep.
Or you'll just bring him to the barn anyway.
Yeah, lots of people do, but for them sure horses, you don't.
Now, when you're watching a horse, I've been to so many horses like that, and I wish I could go with you so I know what to look for. When you see a horse going away from you, like where he steps,
yeah,
be on this time.
Yeah.
He's watching that back end.
That's right. And the front. He watches all at one time. You know, a lot of horses, when he pick up the foot this way, do you do it that way?
Yeah, do it.
They kind of twist the foot when he turns it over, they kind of sling it out.
And
maybe sling it in.
And he's not going to
have it. He ain't going to have it. By God, he'll re-cure him. You'll cure him according to the way you want his feet to go, where it's straight, or you know what I mean? If he's wing, what they call winging, does that way or this way, then you cure, you balance that horse's foot where he'll eventually get to where it walks perfectly straight.
So he can watch the back end.
And the front.
And the front, but he can watch whether he's winging.
That's right. He watch where he's winging, where he's too spread-legged, where he's too close.
And then just when he's heading toward him on the other side, then
yeah,
he's
watching for the same thing on his head and his shoulder.
Now, when he was teaching you to ride, he didn't tell you this all at once.
No, you couldn't get it all once to save your life. I don't know. He did. But when I left him, he was still teaching me to ride, and I was still showing. That's right. All right, Uncle Dudley, go back and bring him again. And he told you, whoop, like that, when you have whoop. Then you realize the horse had made a mistake. And you come up here, and he tell you what the horse done. Now you straighten that out. You straighten that out.
What did the horse do?
Maybe some, or maybe just broke over a little, you know what I mean, like he's going to start the trots and he'd be doing a running walk. Mm-hmm. And you would feel it, and just think that horse is making that mistake, he'd holler, he'd have to do it all over again.
Oh,
Yeah.
Uncle Johnny, this job, now, I'm real interested in this, because this job, and if he goes too many inches one time and not that many inches the next, that would make his rhythm uneven.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's right.
And then that would...
If you want him to start worn back legs, your fingers there. Well, now, where you straighten that out is mostly in chewing. That's scientific chewing. Maybe this year, see on this trip, maybe I have to say more on it. Or I have to say less than the other one.
And then you got to take the
shoe off. Take the damn shoe off and change your damn shoes and try them again. Yeah. That's scientific chewing. I said it up for a good bit.
But a lot of it is how you sitting in that saddle.
Yeah.
And what you're doing with these hands.
What you're doing with your hands and that horse's head, you control the horse with that hand. And you know what I mean. It's got to be just that. That horse nod, you give and take with your wrist.
But you still got that contact with his mouth.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You got a tight rein on.
Yeah.
Not, you know, I don't mean I just pull him back.
You
just give and take as your head goes up and down. And the horse is doing that, your hand doing this.
But you're not.
You hold them reins a certain way on this horse and another horse that you ride, you hold the reins and then different pressure on it.
How do you hold the reins for that F bit for that walking horse?
The walking horse? I ride one hand the walking horse.
That's that one hand of the walking horse.
See if I do, both
of
them. Keep up the reins.
Keep up the reins, better than just.
That's right.
Yeah. That's right. And in a walking horse, you're not doing it all the time.
Hey,
yeah.
You got to rein this thing in this.
Yeah. But you never lose contact with the mouth.
That's right. Don't even look. Now on a road horse, and you get my little selfie. And you want that horse to trot or jog, you slack it with, you want it to kind of, they don't exactly walk, but it's kind of a trotting walk. And then you have a jog, what they call a jog, that's the horse is trotting along pretty darn fast. Well, you hold a little bit tighter reins on one for that. And then when you want it to trot on, you just pull them damn reins back and let him pull the damn part by the damn bit. The harder you pull, the faster you'll go.
When you
roll back about this about that much. You take it on the first go around from the neck, you roll it back over, fold it one time. And when that, yeah, when it dries up, face, and you take the back one and fold it over just about like that.
And
when you get down to the middle, on the last fold, that'll be the wettest place on it, in the middle.
Yeah.
And you walk in there and you maybe slide your blanket back or a little shower, clean that part of that, see that, and take it off and walk in there and you just run dry. You dry,
yeah.
Just by God, you can wipe, you can wipe dust off in there.
How could you do that now?
Huh? Folding back too much, or?
Well, how would you catch hell doing something like that?
Well, man, tell you how much you roll it back. By God, you get on to it right quick. That's not hard to get on to.
Well, I
didn't
think so.
Well, if you rode it back too far and the horse threw it out too fast, it would give you pneumonia. Make the horse sick. He's used to the day in a certain way, and that's the way they went down.
Yeah, he
right there. Yeah, he gives you a good little fresh amount. So
yeah.
He won't.
How do you do it? I
know you're you say so. You know damn well better than that.
He talks to
it. Yeah. You know damn well better than that. Uncle Debbie, you, by God, you got that blanket too rolled up too much. You ain't got it out enough.
And he's serious.
Yeah. If you walking that horse out there, he can be standing around there watching you. And you're like, hey, you roll that blanket up too close too much one time now.
Yeah.
You shoot him out right.
I wouldn't call that shit out.
Well, he's just damn silly. You feel like it when there's a damn slew of them around there, and you feel like you're going to raise your head. You know. Makes you feel a little bit uncomfortable. By God, I didn't like it.
But
I didn't like it.
But he's got that horse in mind.
He's got that horse in mind, well-fed horse. An old 5-year-old horse, I know it is like no skin, so the damn thing is too hard to see that. They drove himself and got too damn hot.
And it took too long until it took too long.
You got tired of it.
You done that. But old Navy, a lot of time, you had Navy to do that walking. Yeah. You go there and you take that damn blanket, baby, and fold it back. You rode the horse, you fold the blanket back. But that Navy doing that walk, just walking along slow. Start off, he walking, you know, let the horse walk on fast. And the more longer you go, the slower you get. And that's why the horse swims out.
Well, let me tell you, we're going to have to do something. You know, I want to tell you, you know, I was talking about this time that we looked at.
Yeah.
Where we live up there. Now, I don't know who that was who was living there. But, you know, he said, Grandma Wilson.
Yeah.
He said, she died right over there. He pointed out there up to the little bedroom.
The bedroom on the west side of the room of the house.
And that was his daddy's
mother. My daddy's mother.
Your daddy's mother.
Mm-hmm.
But she wasn't living there when you moved in.
No, she's been dead a long time, and I moved in there. Oh, hell, she's been dead 23 years, I reckon. But more than that, so hell, I didn't marry like 31, and God damn, I was just 8 or 9 years old, I think, when she died.
Oh. Well, when you and Lola were riding along that little road there.
Yeah.
And you looked over there and
see. That was way years later.
After you lived there?
No, that's before I lived there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Before I lived there. But when you see it, you know, the old house just sitting there, just like you see it sitting now. It just wasn't pulled down the bed, did it?
I didn't hear you tell about
it. Good.
I don't know, I don't know.
But, you see my grandmother, just the same as I'm looking at you, after she'd been dead for years.
Okay.
That's right.
That road.
And she used to drive an old horse, was riding along down the road, like the house sitting here. She was riding out down the road. And I looked in that window where my grandmother died, and I seen her just the same as I'm looking at you now.
And she
was dressed just like she always dressed, and I used to stay with her when I was a kid.
Yeah.
When I first heard that bumping in her house. As we passed the house, there used to be a mulberry tree sitting out this way toward the old barn and the lot. And I seen her horse and buggy, just the same as I'm looking at you. Where she always on a Sunday morning took that horse up to the buggy, led up that tree, and stopped and she stood there. You couldn't hit the old bitch, she basically showed you history. But she drove up the tree and stopped and stand there. And that horse is standing at that old mulberry tree, so he just turns around to his wife, he goes, look at you. And I know damn well both of them are dead and gone, because I was about 9 years old, I reckon, when grandma died. And before she died, the old horse died, and me and my oldest brother, the one she met, Edward, me and Daddy and Edward buried the old horse. Grandma had a bigger hole. God damn, we had that horse. But it's a big horse. It was about 1,200 pounds. And I got that horse. That horse's top part of it was that deep. Under the level of the dirt.
That's
the place. By God, you never seen such a hole. Well, we dug the hole right at the old horse's back. Took her by her legs, rolled her over in the hole. And that was all we could do. And of all things, we dug the hole too close to her or something, and her damn old feet stood up this way, and we had to get in there and dig out one of them feet and let her down level. Her feet couldn't stick up in like that up on the bank of the grave.
Yeah.
That's true. You buried her old Nola just right.
Old Nola?
Old Nola. Yeah, that old horse and old Nola. Now that's the only time ever I seen them after she died, but I asked her son. But I was born, so the old midwife said to see things that other people couldn't see. I can see it and show it to you.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't see it for your life unless I point at it and show it to you. See it there?
Mm-hmm.
You can see it. When I point, the other person can see it. And I can take my hand down, you can't see a damn thing.
Oh.
Okay.
That's what happened right there?
Yeah. I said, that point, I said, look, yonder grandma standing in the window. Well, Pearl Campbell and a sister that's dead was riding with me and Lola on the horses. We was living at over there where Lola was living, and just rode the horses around that block and down by where every boy's living and back up the house. Only time I ever made old man Kim was young as a ride a horse. And they begged us to be sure and dead and not tell Papa and Mama that he rode the horse a year ago. He was riding them buggy. Two of us on each damn horse. And I'm telling you, see, that got me when I seen Grandma stand in that window. That old bonnet on, you know, no shawl over her head. Old Chevy apron. Just like she used to go around when she was alive when I was a little kid. Yeah, had a burned old shawl thing over her head, basically. Yeah, whatever you call the thing, I think it was a shawl. But anyhow, it's a damn some kind of old wrap and tie put on the head and then it was over this and an old bonnet. And, yeah. And, you know, it had a little high piece stick up in the back this way. And, you know, this piece and another damn little old piece stood out and there's a little frills on it. String was tied around her neck. I was just almost imagine she was down there right now. Yeah. Well, I remember stuff way back then, God, but something happened the last 2 or 3 days. Hell, I don't know what in the hell happened.
Yeah, but that's still you lived in.
Oh, yeah, years before I did that. Yeah. I was 8 or 9 years old and didn't marry till I was 31. Well, you see, Uncle Joseph, my daddy's brother, bought the place and grandma died.
Yeah.
Borrowed the money and bought it. He never could pay it back. And old Dr. Jim Bishop had the mortgage on it. And Uncle George was telling Uncle Joseph that he was paying the taxes on it for the use of it. And he got all them taxes paid up so many years, and he told Uncle Joseph he didn't handle the damn place. He just took it over the tax base. He bought it in taxes. And he promised Dr. Jim that he would give him his money back. Dr. Jim, you know what anybody could do as a boy, he said, well, I think it was $950, taxes for better than 20 years. I mean, interest. Uncle Joseph never did pay a damn nickel on it. And his wife would say, you're saying, I know if he couldn't pay the damn bill. Now, George got the rent with people for paying the taxes. Instead of paying them all the taxes on Uncle Joseph's name, Uncle George should pay. Now, Uncle George is sent.
Oh, he was.
And damn right.
Well, he's going to run the thing.
Oh, no, Uncle George, there he is. Uncle George, Uncle Willie.
And Uncle Henry.
Well, Uncle Henry was lazy, went in the road. And Daddy was just as long as days here long, and Uncle Willie was too. Uncle Willie was lazy as hell. Now, that's one thing I can say to my daddy. There's only smart one in the whole damn bunch. But Daddy and his book. Ain't one of the
books.
Yeah, my daddy.
He's only one of
the books. Only one really worked hard. Well, they sit around, they done a little pigging and horse trading the old lady, and my God, they got along all right.
Well, you took out there a couple of them.
Well, I've done a little bit of all that, as I tell you the damn truth about it. They don't need a line. They don't need a line. I got some of the whole damn stock.
You got some of the good qualities from all of them.
Yeah, that's what I got something to do. I'll do a little horse trading and all that stuff, see. And then still, I got out work. I ain't honest, I owe you, I pay.
Now, I didn't call it good job at that point.
That was Uncle Joseph, by Daddy's brother that was younger than him.
Yeah, Uncle Joseph.
Uh-huh. And he never did pay for it. Uncle George got the damn paper taxes in his name, and he got a hold of it. Well, he kept promising the fella that had Uncle Joseph borrowed him out of it. He kept telling him, I'm going to pay you. I'm going to hear a good cop of you. I'm going to pay you the mortgage off.
Uncle George said
that. Yeah. And whenever Uncle George died, he just hadn't paid it off. And Uncle George hadn't died. When he did, I'd own that damn place. But I got down. Be good hay to go buy it, and Uncle George wouldn't sell it to me.
Yeah.
Be good hay was going to buy it and give me money and had to make the deed to me. Well, I'm glad in a way that I didn't get it for the simple reason that Uncle George died, that place went to his oldest daughter, the married to Alma's brother, you know, Hank.
Yeah.
And Hank said the place cost more to carry up the title of that damn place than the whole damn thing was worth. But Uncle George, you know what I mean, when that mortgage got 20 years old, it went out. doctor. He kept putting that Jim Booth across the doctor. So if they finance the damn thing to buy from Grandma Wilson Doc, excuse me. Well, he kept putting him off. He didn't make nothing this year. Maybe next year he'd flip and he'd give me $906. He said, all I want is my money back. I don't give a damn about them. And he wouldn't pay that. So Hans had all that to do, and I locked it down. I think Uncle George and Moise at the time of two. Had all them bills against it, and I didn't even deal with it going to buy it. And when he went to make the deal, he said, make that perfect risk instead of me. Where you buying money. And Uncle George died on a Christmas day. Then the next couple of weeks, he was supposed to buy and take it all straightened out. Right now, see, suppose I went ahead and bought it, and let me buy it from me, and let's have it made to me. Well, I was going to overdo it for it. Then I'd have done all that title clearing from way back. And I'm glad I didn't buy it. So Hans, when he was turned over to living, he wanted to get title insurance. I tried to see that. He said the damn police called the hell last morning. The damn thing is worth. It was a gift to Lou. Look, it costs more than the damn place you were to get all the damn paperwork straight back on. So you get into the title insurance.
Well, who owned it when you lived in?
Uncle Josie owned it. Uncle George was renting it to me and paying the taxes.
But he wasn't out very much.
He wasn't out of damn thing. Hell, he was a million.
You lived there, didn't you?
Yeah. Just a year as I lived. And when I went to move out of that damn place, I was going to move over there down the lane from Lowell. They got me on Jerry, baby, and I never will like old Judge Murphy. Never again. Well, that old bastard, was moving the horse and wagon, and I had one wagon loaded and the other back up there. So the damn porch, putting the damn furniture and stuff on, the devil brought the damn thing to go to. Yeah, dude. And he took me over there, and the judge wouldn't let me off, and it was rained less than his head, and the judge wouldn't let me off. I told him, you know what I mean, let's give you an excuse for being off. Told him I just wanted off that day to finish moving, had part of my stuff on the wagon. And nobody out there to move but the old lady, she didn't have no help. Mm-hmm. And it was very rain, like she did, but get the mattress off, and there, you know what I mean, and some of the stuff. And that son of a bitch told me, that's all the excuse you got for us to be off for good, dude, because we just cut all the whole court off for next week, or a week or two, or another month, and she let everybody get the business straight, and so then we'll come back and have court. Thank you, Judge. I ain't said another damn word, just shut down. Mad in hell. Now, you know, if I'd had a plenty of money, I'd have got up there and slapped him inside the head that day.
It
wasn't worth the damn price, by God, I'm telling you, that old judge, I never will like it back.
Yeah, I
don't know. Being explained to him that I was moving, had the last of myself on the wagon, was moving across the field, I said, I'll be back here tomorrow. I'd like to be excused for just today. So everybody feel right away about it, so we'll just start off for a week, and might be a month. Never had to get the business turned to him, so then we'll have caught and half court again. Everybody can be him. God damn, I got mad. If I hadn't sat down, I'd say, God, it did have you good enough. I went around and slapped hell out of him. I said, you know what a reasonable excuse is? This is what I asked him when I did. He said, yeah, and I said, don't believe me. And I just threw it inside the head. I said, what? By God, I'll let you where you got an excuse to come out with a black eye or not.
Yeah. Why would you
want to
leave a good house like that?
Well, Uncle George got teed off on me, first place, because his nigga wouldn't, I'd left my bill for him and sold the back of him at the house and went up to Live Oak, and I left my bill for him and I went on the bed with about $2,000 or $4,000 in it.
Uh-oh.
And this old nigga, when I left there, we was going on that, you know, on the floor back of the next day, I was going on that to my wife's mother. But I ain't changing clothes when I got the back load in the truck and I'm going to ride the truck up there, see that man's bus there. And Mary got ready, and I ran in just jacked my shirt and britches off and slipped on some more. Well, I emptied his pockets and showed them on the bed, right? For changing clothes. And I just forgot to put the damn things in my pocket or in the hurry. And when I got up there, I didn't have a goddamn dollar. And I got live over that hotel back, I didn't have a dollar. I had to borrow money by a guy to get a hotel room that night. And I had an old nigger was sitting there, well, he cleans up the house, you know what I mean? And that helped me cook and all this, that, and the other. But neither one of us was there, and two or three or four, maybe $4,000 in that damn billfold just laying there open on the bed. That nigger got that money, put it all in the quilt. You know, I showed you where he put the money in the quilt and the little closet thing in for the old house. And wouldn't let nobody in that damn house. Uncle George and Aunt Ellis come over there. Now, he was supposed to be on in the place. But I rented it. It was mine. It wasn't his. That nigger was done pretty good. He got Aunt Alice and Uncle George and here and put it in that little front shed room. But he would not let him go in the body part of the house. He was a little bit of rain. Got a little cool. And the nigger said, there was a damn shotgun. He wouldn't let him go in the house. So you come on the porch and you go in the shed room. Old boss, and then they ain't
used.
No, that was on the front porch. On the front porch. You know, it was a room on the front porch out there. Huh? Yeah. Yeah, on the north side of the house. Yeah. There's a bedroom out there, but we, me and Mary didn't use it. And he set him a chair piece in there and said, Mr. Wilson, said, I'm sorry, I said, it's old boss again, so you come on in, so they build up a fire. I said, old boss and Mrs. is gone, and says, my orders let nobody in this house except old Mrs. Mother, the boss's mother and daddy. So well, not even his brother can come in this house. The boss's daddy can't even come in here. So that's the reason I got this shotgun sitting here. And it's loaded, so nobody goes in the body part of this house, nobody goes in the kitchen, nowhere else in this house. So you can come on the front porch, go on the back porch. And go in this little shed room there. And Uncle George was talking about going to kill my old smart nigger. That nigger tended my damn business. He wrote my damn check. I didn't have him. I'd find him. If I wanted the damn business letter wrote, that nigger had the prettiest damn hand I'd ever seen. I hired him to plow a horse, and by God, he couldn't plow. Couldn't plow, damn lick. But he came to the damn shop, helped old me. And my God, he'd go in there and cook. He would take the damn prettiest, damn nice cake you ever seen. And Uncle George got mad when he got the nigger and said, that's the kind of damn nigger I was going to have over there. Well, the nigger stayed in the little house further down the road, see? You know, like we come up that lane. You know, I tell you, there used to be a little old house further there, down toward there. Well, the nigger lived there. But when daylight came, that nigger's at the house and had the horses there. And when dark came, he sat down and eat himself and right back down that little shack he went. But next morning, daylight, he's right back up there. Right. And I just heard him, I was saying, how about going out there and getting such and such a cow up? Yeah, I said, boss, just figured I'd see the old miss got some stove wood and water. And he was down, he wouldn't go get the hog or a cow. I told him to go get it, a horse. I'd see her. And he seen the old miss had stove wood in the kitchen, plenty of damn water.
No,
he just, by God, he saw me and the old missus, Jesus Christ, said it. That boss said, I just don't be into them. He said, I'm going to tell you, there's an old miss just ready to cook, so she got to have wood and water. So that's a cow, horse, and wait a minute. Well, I'll do it fast. He said, I got to do that first. So the old missus worked them first, so she's the one feeding me. He got mad in hell about it. I told him, I said, Uncle George, you missed my damn nigger. I killed you. Well, I decided not to rent him anymore.
So he got it.
Yeah. So I just knew. Hell yeah.
And he took care of all that money for
you. That nigger put that money in them damn quilts, and by God, when he came back, he got up on the front porch and shot down one here and his hat in the other. Now, he never spoke to me or my wife. He didn't have his hat in his hand. That's right. He took that whole hat off back. Old boss, miss, I'm so glad you knew. What's wrong, son? Boss, you know what you done? I said, hell, I've been to Georgia. What the hell are you talking about? And something like that. He said, boss, if you have your shit best, I ain't flipping down there. So I just keep calling Ben Young. I said, what's leaving out there? I do in that front porch and half a lot of it. And two in my pocket.
How about that?
Yeah. He said, you look, you're beautiful right on the bed. So anybody could have got it. So did you know better than that? I said, hell, it didn't change. He said, how much money do you have in there? I said, well, I don't know, 2, 3, 4, 5, man. Whatever that damn box of clothes said the other day.
Yeah.
God damn, that nigga said, you come in here, I don't know how much money you got, so don't you count it, man. See, she's got all your money there, and I ain't spent a nickel of it.
Yeah.
It was my damn money. It's gonna be my wife. And he took that damn Prius out of age. He got way down. We had a stack of Prius that looked that high in that closet. He got way down and unfolded one of them. He folded that money up in there. Oh, hell, he had them damn Prius squared up like that. Came back in and put the other Prius on top of it.
Nobody could find
it. He said he wouldn't even count the damn money. I wouldn't even open that bill for it. So I seen the money in there. He said, I couldn't catch that money. So man, that bill for it was fast.
More money
than that nigga there. Now, he might have a good education that nigga got. He might have been a well-to-do nigga, but he was a hobo when I hired him. Well, he had been a hobo, that's the way Jeff Harris hired him. A big stump. When he came away one day and asked me, could he have a job? So Mr. Harris, that was Jeff's old man. Says, he got us over there digging stumps and said, we about dug them all. And said, I need to see another job. So we get them few stumps better. So did you give me a job? I said, yes. Pay you every damn day, or I'll pay you every week, I'll pay you every month, any damn way you want. So you know how much I gave him? He said, about this time. That's this time. So that's my dream. He said, them other niggas can do that stump. So they don't have. So they don't have a good boss name like I got, and I get over here with you. He said, all these niggas done told me about you. Yeah, all them niggas done told me about you. So when you tell the man you're going to do something, you're going to do it. He said, Miss Jeff says, sometimes says, you don't come out and pay us on Saturday evening like a soul. She's no wait for Monday. So that was my money when Saturday comes, so I like to get me a little breeze. But I kept that nigga, me and that nigga together, 5 gallons of good moonshine at least, the whole time.
But you didn't make it.
No, I'm paid.
Well, you had a treasure. That
was well, the old nigga got drunk, loaded the stallion one day, and I told him not to. He had done it again, he was in our job, and I laid him head again, he got drunk, and sent the damn horse in.
Oh.
And he came walking in about a week later. I've had it in here. How do you, boss? Old miss? And what do you want, Slim? He said, I want to know if it's all right for me to come in. Now, Slim, do you remember what I told you? You rode my horse off every time I got drunk? Yeah, he said, I thought maybe you'd think it over this week and forgive me. I said, no, hell, I told you you didn't have no damn job. No more job in the damn rabbit. I said, no place. And Mary says, Henry says, you know we need Slim, and we need a place. So I said, I don't give a damn. I told him, by God, ahead of time, twice. And I said, this is the second time he rode a horse, me and Jensen. I told him not to take it around riding my stallion. Now, the first time, he came up to you, he couldn't hardly walk. Then I told him if he done it again, he didn't have no job in the damn rabbit, and by God, I mean it. So Slim didn't have no job, but every time I'd go to town, he'd keep hunting me up. Boss, you forgive me yet? I said, yeah, I forgive you and forgot him, forgot you too. I'm sorry about that damn deal, because he was a damn good one. But after I told him he didn't have no job in rabbit, by God, I didn't stay with him. I said, I don't give a damn how it hurts me. And they were talking about, well, honey, I didn't give a damn if it hurt me. I got out and stayed in the road about the thing.
It
was a hell of a pair.
Yeah.
So in the hell of a pair, you know that little hell up here on a human being? Some hell's got that away. Well, I got that. That's just what I mean. It'd be impossible to hell of a pair. And I wasn't going to put up that negative more because If I'd have took him back, he'd have done it again. I didn't mind finishing whiskey, but his whiskey didn't cost him a dime in the world.
Yeah.
He had him a glass, and every meal before you, he'd drink a damn quarter glass of it.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, I did too. So, when I went in the army, I didn't drink water. When I was trying a horse, I killed a gallon of stone jug. Well, whiskey on it right on the hands of that damn horse. And I went and drank the water. I said, whoa. Go around and open that damn jug up and take a drink of that damn whiskey, stop it up, hang it back up there, and walk down in. Yeah. Clown. God applied a million days. So nothing on one of these little old t-shirts without any sleeves in it. Cut my britches off there. Didn't have a damn pair of shoes on. Didn't have a hat on. And I tried one horse in the morning, one afternoon. So by God, you bet not have it's a damn four at the end of the year. By God, they said it was not as many walking in the walk. No hat, no shoes, no shirt, and damn near no
britches.
Had to take brand new pants, cut them off with, boy.
Get out there
and get it. Fly them old brides. You know how them old brides go and you be flying with two horse fly? Them brides just skin your damn leg to be held. I didn't need two horses in the morning, two in the evening. But I'd pull that line up side to side there now and again. Hey, up. A little fast for him. Just watch that dirt road. Fine corn. I just like to see that corn look like it. Every time you go by here, it kind of jump up that way.
Yeah.
Like the other side of the road, jump up and turn the other way a little.
Yeah,
that's true. Flying and holding. The same damn thing. Flying and holding is the one damn machine. Mm-hmm. You might be playing. The good thing is flying and holding. You getting that damn stuff. You ain't got a place maybe wide as that wire there, hardly.
Yeah,
but that's when you're flying and holding. Now, a lot of people get real off the corn and fly. Well, I fly beef and
that's
my.
That's one thing we don't have to pick up. Yeah, I have that. I keep it up.
Grandma Wilson? She was the first hog that ever I owned in my life. She had a little white hog, Chester White. When I was a kid, and I'm gonna say whether you know it or not, and that's me or Lola, Edwards, and I was going to see them all at night, she's being by herself. And she had five or six little old mangy pigs there. She made stuff from sulfur and lard. Now, you know that damn thing stinks. An old zinc lard. And that damn sulfur makes you know the paste out of it. And she told me, she said, Herbert, if you abuse these pigs, Sonny said, I'll give you one of them. I said, well, that's all right, Grandma. I'll give them for you. Maybe that's good. One of them grew some damn pigs. And one day, Papa, I told him I was about to bury it in the head and over there. Tomorrow. Well, I think he will. But I talked to Johnny. So one day, Daddy was over there. And he told him, he said, my good husband, one of them pigs, he said, took out the best in him. I said, oh, no. I said, they're going to charge you another thing. Then grease them pigs. Well, I'm going to get him greasing one more time, so it may be worth it. Got those manes on there, stuff it up, sand down, manes. And he got me greasing again. One day, Daddy and all of us over there, he seemed like it was on Sunday. Grandma went out there, they had an old garden out there in front of that old house out there in those them woods. All them pigs in that garden. Called Daddy up. He said, Johnny, he said, come in. He said, bring a string. The old pig wasn't about that high. And, well, what you want, man? Well, you get a string, come in. So he said, kick that pig down there. Kick that bitch in there and pig face. So what are you going to do with it? Got that head of hog. He said, you can sit at home and see, Johnny. Well, we killed that hog at home. Tied all his 4 feet together.
Oh, you did?
Hold him in that bed. Killed that hog home and kept him that year. The same thing that year would be.
It was fine.
wouldn't be. But she got to weigh, she was like 400 and some few pounds in the cold. They told me, I just hope she might as well sell that hog and get your money. But he sold hogs, and hogs, the first hog ever I sold, Daddy, you know, they're just common hogs. The young old man found means, and Daddy got 2.5, or he was 2¾ pounds for his hog, and they were tight. Well, mine was way over a damn tight. It was all ahead. And the old man found means, give me 3 cents for mine. First hog ever sold in the damn life. 3 cents a pound. And Daddy got up to old man and said, how come his hog's worth more than mine? He said, well, Johnny says it's like this. So that boy says, I'll help get him interested in farming so he can take this and buy him 2 or 3 hogs. You know, he can't have it one at a time. He's waiting half a minute putting a bank somewhere. Says, I'm giving him more. Says, you donate the food, says, I'm donating a little money. So that's how come his hog been more than yours. I'd have took this damn little nigga you ever seen. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I told me to. That's all I said. If I was just buying that hog from you, if you didn't know, she'd have some kind of smoke. That's 2 cents. A little less than what tops have done. And I think it's 2½, or it's 3/4 of a pound, baby, so them damn hogs, those damn wagon loads of them. Yeah, wagon loads of them. I made a deal out of the house and hold them up there and wait. I'm dang, I was a sick nigga in that man for the 3 cents a pound. Now that cheaper call there that I sold. But I sold some at a hell of a good price. And I have said that I would be glad to see pork chops $1 a pound. And me's brother was down there one day, and pork chops had got to $1 a pound. Well, we all went to town. We decided we wanted some pork chops and stuff. You know, me and asking how they like their pork chops and stuff. Well, we didn't have any. We didn't have freezers. And I kind of wanted some pork chops. Went out to the damn store. I don't know. I think I bought 10 pounds of damn thing. But man, how much are you? $10. Well, it says, God damn, it's a cut them back. I can't eat them damn things. $1 a pound? I said, hell, you know, it's what we damn things. We don't never look at the price. Now, I got the price tag on me a damn thing, yeah. But her brother that runs his trucking business from the house, said he said, me need one of them pork chops. Even though I say, I can't afford to eat them pork chops. $1 a pound? No, it's my wife's brother.
Oh, is that his
brother? Yeah. Big West is my wife's brother. And he got that phone's in his name.
Yeah.
That's my wife's brother. The only one of her whole damn family, since her mother died, I give a damn thing.
This house now, it never had had any damage like
that, so never did have any cleaning. Not a bit. If they had a drop of paint, it only would spill on it.
It wouldn't have
a wooden
door, would
it? No, it was an old
wooden
shutter.
It just on
here? Yeah, on here, just like a damn door. Just like you'd open and shut that door. That's where you open and shut it and had no hooks, you know, in an eye, ache or something.
Yeah. Well, what did they keep out? Just the
wind? Yeah, just keep the wind out. If you wanted to see out, well, I got you open the damn window. If it got hot in there, you open the window. Drop them back and you see your house.
Did you call them the shutters or the windows?
I always call them windows. The two names that would be a shutter.
Yeah.
But no ceiling. Damn people live back there. John, people live back then, yeah. But I'd rather live in that right now. If it was just past it, we didn't have a good floor. And that walkway, you see that kitchen, all I took that damn thing rather live in my house. 2 to 1.
Now
I ain't never seen nothing that damn ugly.
You standing on the...
That's on the back porch, ain't it? Yeah.
Well, that's on the little house. That's on the kitchen.
This is the kitchen over here, ain't it?
You standing on the back porch?
Yeah. I see them right there. And that well, no, wait a minute. I was standing on the damn kitchen porch, so you know.
You were standing on the kitchen porch, yeah.
Is that right, guy?
I think he's standing on the kitchen porch.
Well, this is in that walkway thing, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And the kitchen would be back here. I was out in the yard, then between them. Right. And this is the old house, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just the old kitchen back there. So you know, I said, and I looked out there in the yard. Remember, I just been around the corner there, too. But me. Then.
Right
there was part of the old water field. Right up here was a little old place where they kept the soap and all that stuff up there. But the water field come out to me out this age out here. That's how high it was. And come off out here, baby, just. Where the old porch was. The part of it's gone now.
Now that kitchen back there has got kitchen and two rooms in it?
Yeah. Got a kitchen and a dining room.
Yeah.
Right on the inside of the kitchen part is a little cabinet in there, your little closet for your groceries. Yeah. Call that the pantry.
That was
a pantry, yeah.
That's the pantry.
Yeah. You don't remember to have a little chairs in there, guy, that, if you set your canned stuff on, your groceries on, you set them on anywhere from the floor right on up to the down near the top of the thing.
Yeah.
And had a shed about so wide in there. Put your canned goods around in there.
That's why they had the wood stove.
I had the wood stove in the main part of the kitchen.
Yeah. And then if you eat on the other
side. On the other side of that too.
Yeah. Now that was sort of. That's living in town.
Yeah.
People that live like that was living in town.
That sounds like you made too live along there.
Yeah.
You damn right. I went out there many times and built the ice off in them water buckets and washing that damn ice water right out of the bucket. Just take a damn dip or something and jig a hole in there. Get that water and pour it in, wash the face in, and then sit down and eat. Yeah. Now, I hate you to get up and walk out the house and it's cool. Much less when it's cold. At a jail, it used to be a hell of a lot colder than it then. It is now.
Oh, really?
This was a junior to a winter when I was feeling quite a number of years. This is junior, I wanted.
Did you have to have your own dining table in there, or did you just run in there?
No, we put our dining table in there. Yeah, our own dining table.
Well, how'd you get it?
Well, I was one of the grandma's families that we moved over there. Mom and Daddy gave us when we got married. And I bought a little old stove. I don't believe about that square. Well, it's number 8 wood stove. And number 8 wood stove. And that damn thing wasn't about that big, but it had 4 eyes up there, and hell, we cooked on it and had an oven down there, you baked in there. Dang, he
bought
them kids and Carl Williams. Emmy Williams, you met Emmy Williams over at the bus with Thanksgiving, didn't you? Yeah, I believe you did, but you went to Claude Brown, another big fella, you remember Lord, over there rubbing a fella's feet with some of that icy hot? Well, you might have done wrong when he got there, but he was over there.
Yeah,
he was there. I bought it from here, but it wasn't hardware store down there. It's like a little hardware store is now. Bought it on a tub. I think it was $7, maybe $10. Didn't have to buy in the world. Then when I got married, I had a $5 bill, and I borrowed $5 from my mother. That's how much money it is. But I done sold, I bet you $2,000 worth of hogs and spent a month or two of one then. $5 worth of bass. $2 worth of bars. I told you this earlier. Yeah, them centers. Big time, big size. Man, if you're that, then it's had a good marriage. That's right. I've been a servant, and I'm better than you. I've been. I live from one day to the other. That's what I like to live. Now, since I got old, you see, like putting all them collard greens in that food. I got meat in there. I got sausage in there. And a little bit of anything you need for. I got two cases of juice down here at Francis. I'm going to make jelly. I ain't got a damn bit of yeast for it. But I hardly ever eat a bite of jelly. Now, why in the hell that's in that little old fireplace? Uh-huh. Now, Mama?
Yeah.
You don't care. You don't call me a liar, too, because I believe God and the jelly salty. They might not even say it, but they salty. You can sit down in this living room by this fireplace. That's a double fireplace. One on this side of the house and one on the other side. One for the bedroom and one for the living room. Either side, if you sit at that fireplace at night, you can hear something going. Like that. And it was that away from the time that I can remember, which I wasn't no way near 9 years old. And I was around 9 when Grandma died. And I stayed with her many nights, she was staying by herself, me and all of my brothers and sisters, which was from my age up, we just spend the night with Grandma, walk across the field from Lowe's, where Lowe's living, across that house, spend the night with her. Next morning we had to get up and come home, get the calves up, milk the calves, get ready to go to school, walk across the field. But right in there, on this side or the other side of that chimney, and I went under there with a damn fire seal flashlight and smoothed that ground off, even after I got married. Didn't have a damn chicken in the yard, smooth the ground off, and was going to find out what was knocking on that floor. My wife didn't believe it, but she heard it. I told her that damn little house was haunted.
Mm-hmm.
She saw, honey, you're crazy. She said, what the hell do you say? I said, when you go in and sit down after you go eat, come in and sit down before you go to bed, you sat there within an hour, you hear that knocking. And by God, they're there. Well, I don't believe it, but they're there. God damn it, you know something that happened from the time you were 7, 8 years old until now. And I believe if you go there and sit down in that damn room right now, you're the one. On either side of that fireplace, you hear that damn knocking.
But that's why Grandma
Wilson. Grandma Wilson was living, yeah. When I was a kid, hell, I wasn't even 9 years old. Wasn't 10 or no. I know I was 10 years old, but I believe Grandma died when I was 9 or 10 years old. And she died in that room right where I stayed. But I don't know now, some people can say it was imagination or not, but Grandma used to stand in her bedroom. Bed wasn't about that far from the wall, and she'd get on the outside of the bed. She'd walk around the bed this way and get over there and look out that window. She was always looking out of the garden out in front of that house.
Well,
and I've seen her do it many days.
That chimney, that was a high chimney.
Yeah. The damn roof was high.
You can tell.
I never saw anything like that. Was that something special?
No, you had to build a chimney according to her house to house.
Yeah.
See, your chimney goes up like that above your house.
Yeah,
it's still there.
That mountain is right
there. Right there in front of the firehouse. Just like the stove there, you sit down in here somewhere back here and you hear that mountain right down in between you and the fireplace. Well, I believe it's a buried treasure day. I also do. Okay. The old lady that lived there, she lived right down there across the, you know where we come out and you see them pecan trees up there? To the right of where we come out of the back of Tommy's? She lived there. And she had all kinds of damn money to feed the fair. Now, that's what I've been told. This is hearsay. She moved from there up to this house. And she died up there. And nobody was never found, never been in any of that old woman's hand. They say she had bad luck.
Mm-hmm.
And I still believe some damn men you are on that damn face bird thing there.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's just a belief.
Mm-hmm.
That could be why that might be there.
Well, you had a trip. Now this is that house on the night one of those two big rooms on for your family.
Yeah.
One of them was living room, the other was a bedroom.
Yeah.
Down that bedroom on the bed you had.
Two? A lot of times they had two in that bedroom. Two beds in this one and two in this one on each side of the chimney. Then they had a bedroom, you know, back over where Grandma died, and one across that little hallway.
Yeah.
I recognize what it's called. It was open, just open walkway. And then you walked out of that, and you went from there across the regular walk and went into the porch on the kitchen.
Yeah. Well, now this one down here, I don't know quite how it was. How big was that house down there at the old man Pope's house? Was that
10 sizes there? I wouldn't say it was something similar to it.
Yeah. And the kitchen was about the same?
Yeah.
And the distance between them about the same?
Yeah, possibly.
Well,
they built a car sure like it because on that back porch, you know, in the main part of the man Pope's house,
yeah.
Now his house sitting here,
right
here, the front porch,
right here.
Then the body part of the house.
Right here.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean the front porch
here? Yeah. And they had this little shed room back over here, see? And then you come out of here. No other bedroom. Bedroom. And I wouldn't say for sure where it had a bedroom on the front of that porch and not that house on the deep oak, I don't know.
Well,
I called him Uncle B, and I don't recognize him Uncle because I was courting baby daughter.
Uncle B.
It was John B. Folk.
John B.
Yeah.
That's what I called him.
Yeah, and everybody called him Uncle D because he was old as hell, it looked like.
Yeah.
He's about as high as I am, a little bit stouter, not quite as high as I am.
Yeah.
A little bit stouter. And that girl is a pretty thing. She was
and
she had weak eyes, but she was, well, she was a good size fat woman.
What'd you call her?
Fifth Sam. Yeah. Her name was Francis.
Oh,
and me and her, one of her son-in-laws called her Sir Francis. The old lady raised a little hair with her, so me and Wiley, her son-in-law, would get out and get a little tight, you know, have a little fun. The old lady would give her hair.
And inside here, this was two.
Yeah, I think it was, yeah.
You don't know much about the inside of it.
Well, I've been in here many times, but I've been down if I remember.
What is this? You have got this petition out. This is door over here.
Yeah.
Right through the middle.
Yeah. Well, I don't know why I read that out, because this is bedroom back here. I know when I believe it was a bedroom over there and one over here.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a shower room in there. This was a log petition there, though. But go over here.
Hello.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is the bedroom. What are these for?
Bedroom.
This is bedroom?
Mm-hmm. I know the bedroom is in
there. That was a pretty good sized house then.
Yeah.
Well, now, them bedrooms in my working house, they were lower. But
they were bigger. I believe them was bigger.
But this wasn't bigger.
No, it wasn't. It was about like the little room I said where Grandma died.
Yeah. Well, it was.
It wasn't no damn little one, but it wasn't no big one.
No one. But we didn't have sufficient here. Wasn't something
here. I believe it's kept somewhere in there because it was a damn room here. Fire room was over there. All this is logs in here, I'm quite sure, and I know there's a bedroom over there and one here. And the living room is in here somewhere, and it seemed to me like another room out of the water room out there.
Because
here would be the water, here would
be
no, you just come through the thing this way, but they had beds over here. Over here, yeah. They had a pretty good size family, Ben. I wouldn't guarantee it now, but I'm going to be honest with you.
Now, where was the fire?
The fire was along in here. fireplace right along in here.
Right along in here?
Yeah.
Big chimney?
Yeah. And here's where I knocked the damn lamp off the damn porch. And that old lady was over there telling you it's a light porch back there, and by God, didn't need a light. I damn sure just see the lamp, too. Seven other nights in the shade, it happened, y'all, that didn't do it. But she decided she didn't need a fire out there, and her daughters, well, the other daughters that was married, the one that married the police in high school, another old thing down there. They was over there that night, and they got to raising hell with the man, and the old man said they had to come in. I said, by God, we'll be in when we get ready to get in.
Who was there?
Her daughter. That was married by Camp Old Seen, the chief police in High Sun. And the other one was, I said, the other night Old Seen, too, it wasn't as wild as well. That's the one that me and him called the old lady's fifth son. And my son, and all that damn stuff. And, Ham's wife, the policeman's wife, and this boy, me and him run around a lot together, and he's married to that girl, and I was going with his sister. They got throwing hell, and the old man, the old lady, said, you had to come out there, and by God, we'd come in and get good and goddamn ready. He knows when we ought to go, and he was out there talking. He didn't know their damn business what we're talking about, neither. And finally, went on to bed, and then went home, some went to bed, and that's why. So it went in the house, and went to her bed, and I slept on that little porch.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Well, I'd go down here and stay a week's short time. Catch old Peggy right down the road, down there where I'd stand a few high school roads, cross the railroad way quick up. Go down the flag, damn thing down, kiss and go down to me and walk across the damn wood.
You got
to remember the family. Well, I was slacking. I was always welcome, I didn't like it, but I was welcome. I was slacking.
And then you
sit
in again.
Yeah, I sat in again. I saw the baby girl, she married Reverend Dan in High Springs. He hates my guts today.
Is Dan one of them two Dan boys that you was
with? Yeah. You damn right they were there. They cut the hell out of you.
Did he cut that?
I don't know. I missed it. You know damn well I missed me, because I always said that it was 38 and 16 bad.
Oh, you did?
Yes, ma'am. Mama, I know there's damn about to hit me up. Well, ain't no way. Ain't no way for them to hear me up. If they do, they're going to be a human thing. They'll come through 638 bullets. And I don't believe they're going to do that.
And that's not the one who threatened to kill you.
Huh, no, that's George Miller. Yeah. And Donna Wilson. And they let him to that, or they would be for Jack Dempsey right back and he said, and see a new crime. And I said, hey, you're down to run on the street. Hell, the damn pig, I hell, it won't fire. And he was shotgun right in my face. See, down on the street, and down those gun on the street. I know damn well it would, but that gun bar, that smug like gun, that gun bar looked just about bigger than that damn like that. And the fella drinking, and he walking in there damn gun. I know damn gun, not even talking about it. I walked around in there and took it away from him. No, I don't ask to be nobody shooting. Me? Well, it's good to me. But I reckon I get that from an old fella who runs a dog for charge. Old soul dead and gone now, you know, he even bought his castle. And here for goddamn mean he built his damn house where he lived in, at least 10 or 12 foot off the ground on post. And he kept dirt out of his yard. He bought his damn castle. And put in and every now and again he'd get drunk shot on the side. Get my damn test, lay down. We're down there to make a pretty course.
All right.
Well, I don't know how true it is, but old man John Rawls, Uncle George's wife's buddy told me that he'd seen old man Richard slunk a dog driving down the road, and his old niggas knowed him. And the nigger that asked him for a drink of his whiskey wasn't for old man Rawls. And old man Rawls had to kill the damn nigger's back and get his stomach pumped out. Like drinking some more whiskey. Well, on that curve, you know, down the other side, like you're going down from there, I mean, like you're going coming by first thing, right there on that curve, the nigger was living in a little old shack there. Uncle Dolph come down the road and made that curve, and that damn nigger asked him for a drink of whiskey. You know what I mean? In other words, Uncle Dolph stopped and talked, you know. Pulled up his damn bottle and took a drink, stood back down that old left there, you know, like they come out of the head and bury you. And the nigger saying in. Said, Uncle Dolph, how about you get a poor nigger a drink of that whiskey? He said, yeah, boy, here's the curve. And the bottle, and while that nigger walked up to get the bottle, he just pulled his horse around that. We got a nigger between the buggy wheel, and the frame of the buggy. That nigger took a drink out of that poor whiskey. And turned back, turned about, turned about smooth. See, I'm drinking out no goddamn nigger. So, I've got all of this, Uncle Don. You ain't drink that damn bottle for you. Because I got another one. So just hurt the first. I got all the ones. No, by God, you ain't. Because you gonna drink that damn whiskey. Reach down in the bag of feet and put up that 38. So drink it or die right in. So I don't give a damn whiskey. He made that damn nigga sign in and drink that whole damn quart of whiskey. And when that nigger, old man Rawls, he didn't show up to work him when he got to him. Old man Rawls went to see about him. He was just about dead. And old man Rawls had to kill him every since since that. Just a good little bit before that nigger dead hit another damn this way. Coming to damn kill him. And Uncle Dog just couldn't kill a man that's liquid. Couldn't kill a man that's killed damn sick of me. Whiskey. Who owns a dog for Shard? R-I-C-H-A-R-D. Mm-hmm. And he raised some damn, his brother and I had some, raised some damn mean damn young.
And he lived up there.
Yeah. Louis Hagen's brother married one of those Shard Carter. I was there. Nolan Hagen married Lindsay's brother, married when they saw a girl. Yeah. And she found a girl, but I didn't cross with her. She just didn't take a look at her. You know Marjorie Shard worked in the drugstore a long time in Rockville, didn't you? Little bitty girl? So, got to go to Dallas. But these are brothers, you know? It's me and damn this order, get them mixed up, but I think Carlisle and Uncle Dolph was brothers. No, it wasn't, because by God, old man Dolph was Carlisle's uncle.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to funeral them damn people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry about that, but I can't help it.
Yeah.
That's right. I'm sorry about that, but I can't help it.
You try to go outside,
get your stuff. This is the end of Channel 1 Right, towards the end of Channel 1 Right, and the end of the session. We're going to take a little break, and Jay and Herbert walking outside this
Surgery, the 22nd January, 76. It's Surgery, 22nd January, 76. Run 1700, channel 1 right. And this is the date at noon. He's putting a little food on the table.